KPIX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. NFL legend Deion Sanders, now the head football coach at the University of Colorado, revealed today he's been treated for bladder cancer. He made the announcement during a press conference alongside his doctors.
Without wonderful people like this, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today because it grew so expeditiously, I could say. But please get yourself checked.
Sanders' doctor said treatment included removing his bladder and constructing a new one. A federal judge blocked one part of the Republican tax policy bill that blocks funding to Planned Parenthood, writing it likely violates the Constitution in three different ways. President Trump met with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Scotland to discuss the humanitarian situation in Gaza. As President Trump disputed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's claim that there's no starvation. Today, two Israeli human rights groups said Israel is committing genocide. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We're now under a heat advisory. It's yet another hot one today. The National Weather Service forecasts temperatures in the 90s and a heat index above 100. Meteorologists say 80% of the state will have a heat index over 100 degrees today, so that heat advisory applies to much of Wisconsin. Now, we're expecting a similar pattern to what we had last week, really high temperatures followed by storms, and we're expecting those storms to move into the state tonight. They could have the potential to cool things off just a little for tomorrow, but time will tell. We'll just have to wait and see. Now, it's the end of July. You know the drill. Drink tons of water, stay in the AC as much as possible, and keep an eye on people who may be more vulnerable because of age, physical abilities, or chronic conditions. Today's heat advisory expires at 8 o'clock tonight. And the breaking story late last week was that Governor Tony Evers would not run for a third term, and people started lining up to join the race. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley says he plans to run, too. That's on the Democratic side. When it comes to Republicans, Trump-aligned businessman Bill Berrien is running, as is Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. Not long after Evers' announcement, former Governor Scott Walker started posting some cryptic tweets showing what looks to be an AI-generated Make Wisconsin Great Again hat. It had 45-47 on the side. President Donald Trump is the 45th and 47th president, and coincidentally, if he were elected again, Scott Walker would be Wisconsin's 45th and 47th governor. All of this implied he may be interested in running for a non-consecutive third term, and then over the weekend, he posted this message.
I'm not going to be a candidate for governor in 2026. In fact, I'm going to continue my work as president of Young America's Foundation.
The field of candidates is expected to get bigger before it narrows with primaries next year. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
It's the Cubs and the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Cubs and the Brewers come into tonight's game at AmFam Field, tied for first place in the division. On the mound for Chicago, lefty Matthew Boyd against the Miz. 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski, Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff.
This kid throws 102. Like, if I was him, I wouldn't be scared of nothing. You know, he deserves a lot of the hype he's getting because, I mean, he's just, you don't see pitchers like him. I think he's not going to approach it any different than any other game. He's getting ready for the Cubs, and yeah, he's been thrown into these atmospheres a little bit. He just goes about his day like any other day, and he'll be ready.
NFL Packers training camp, players now in full pads. I talked to Xavier McKinney.
We locked in, man. You know, personally for me, you know, I got one goal in my mind, and that's to win the championship. So, you know, in order to get that done, obviously you got to win the division. So we just laser focused right now.
That's the Packers safety Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny, hot, and humid today, with high temperatures scraping the low 90s, but it really feeling more like 100 degrees, prompting a heat advisory. And with the winds barely moving, it's not helping any. Overnight, some showers and storms are possible, and some could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, 88 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwab,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our Tuesday show, Pat McBride, author of The Luckiest Boy in the World, joins us at 7:35.
And going to the Brewers game to see the Cubs, and I'll be wearing my new Brewers t-shirt.
Can't wait.
Listen to them weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbush, along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. We are back at the world headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. It is Monday, July the 28th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, here at the world headquarters. Clear skies, Zommers. A little warm, but not too bad. Not nearly as humid as it was over the weekend. And I understand that's good news for you because you're on your way to AmFam Field tonight.
I sure am. Over the weekend, sometime last week, in the past few days, one of my roommates, who's a Cubs fan, was like, hey, you want to go to the Brewers-Cubs game on Monday? And I was like, yes, of course.
Of course.
Why not?
Yeah. Big game coming up tonight and late this afternoon, I guess the evening, technically. You can hear that game across many of our Civic Media radio stations on the Brewers Radio Network, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH, the Buzz of the North, up in beautiful Hayward. Pre-game show on the stations gets underway just after 6 o'clock, around 6:05-ish, and then the first pitch from AmFam Field at 6:40 tonight. The Brewers behind phenom Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, starting off tonight on the mound for Milwaukee in a critical three-game series against the Chicago Cubs. Tonight, tomorrow's game at 6:40, and then it's an afternoon wrap-up on Wednesday at 1:10 in the afternoon. Had the opportunity, the honor, the pleasure of being there yesterday at AmFam Field. Let me tell you, it was hot. Here's a little tip for you. If you win the Civic Media Brewers tickets, A, they're fantastic seats. They're cushy. They're on the third base side. There is an air-conditioned concourse right behind the seats you can step into. And boy, let me tell you, that's a lifesaver. But if you get to an afternoon game, and they had the roof partially closed yesterday to provide a little bit more shade, but these particular seats are in that crevice or whatever you want to call it in the roof, and it's about the seventh inning before the sun goes away. So I'm a little sunburned, but very thankful because what a game it was. And the Brewers pulled it out in the ninth inning, walk-off hit there by Perkins in the ninth. And the Brewers win it yesterday, avoided being swept by the Florida Marlins. But by the way, Marlins are hot right now. One of, if not the hottest team in the major leagues. And they came in there and took a couple from Milwaukee in the first couple of games. But the Brewers got it together and a big walk-off win for the Brewers yesterday. I'm hoping, I'm thinking it's going to propel them into this series against the Cubs, but you never know. I mean, the Brewers and the Cubs right now tied atop the NL Central, so the Brewers could take three in a row here. Suddenly, you're three games ahead of your closest rival in the division. This could go a long way to tell the story down the stretch.
Yeah, it's gonna be very likely a dramatic series.
It really will be. So looking forward to listening to the Brewers. Zymers will be there, give us a full report tomorrow, assuming doesn't party too hardy down there.
No, I do not plan on it, especially with the heat. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, exactly. So hydrate
yes,
down there.
That's what I'll be
if
doing.
If you're going to the game, looking forward to that one later on tonight. And trying to get a little luck going, I have my Just a Bit Outside shirt on from the great movie Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers from our friends Sean Hannish and Kelly Call. Great movie, streaming now on Roku, Apple, Prime, all kinds of the DVD as well. And Tryngve Olsen, our friend who comes on this show frequently, he finally got around to, because his kids and wife are gone right now on vacation. He's still working. And so he watched the movie over the weekend, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. I have not talked to him yet to get his review.
Okay, gotcha.
Maybe we'll save it until Wednesday.
Might be good, yeah. But I'm looking forward to hearing from him. Because,
yeah,
I mean, too. I can't imagine he didn't like it because it's amazing.
Looking forward to chatting with him about the movie. Also looking forward at the bottom of this hour. And we have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who has been on this program a number of times, always a great guest. A little special today, she announced last week, in fact, was the first Democrat to announce that she's running for governor of Wisconsin after incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers announced he will not seek a third term. So looking to a live interview with Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez just after the bottom of the hour. Not going to want to miss that. I want to start with some Brewers news over the weekend that is not involved in the actual current race for the NL Central, because CC Sabathia, it was announced first ballot Hall of Famer in the major leagues. And it's been a while since, and CC was only here for a part of one summer. But let me tell you, it was a fantastic year. It was the year that the Brewers got back into the playoffs for the first time in like 20 some odd years. And so found this clip, been going around online, of Bob Uecker's call back, I believe, 2008. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that. This is Uke's call when CC Sabathia was on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. He pitched the entire game. I was there at this game with my mom that afternoon. It was a great one. This is CC getting the Brewers back in the playoffs after 26 years.
Everybody in this place is standing. 45,299. Sabathia sets. Here it is. Swing and a bouncer. Double play ball. JJ second. Relay.
How about that? That just gives me goosebumps, right? Hearing Uecker on the call again, the late, great Bob Uecker. I believe the year was 2008, and the Brewers had not been in the playoffs in 26 years, basically since that 82 run. And CC Sabathia, free agent, they brought him in, pitched the entire nine innings in that game. It was incredible. And to be there, and to see, and here was the deal. And that's why Uecker didn't say, you know, for the first time in 26 years, they're back in the playoffs, because what happened was the Brewers won that, and then they had to wait and see if the Mets, I believe, lost. And so they put that Mets game up on the Jumbotron at what was called at the time Miller Park, and it was incredible. Nobody left. The entire crowd stayed there watching this game on the Jumbotron, and when I think when the Mets lost, or however, whatever way it had to go, it went the Brewers' way, and it meant the Brewers were the wild card team in the National League, and they had all kinds of streamers and fireworks that went off. The team came back out onto the field, and it was an incredible night to be there. And just as our friend and ongoing contributor Jeff Perry says on Facebook, so great to hear the late, great Bob Uecker's call once again. I mean, Levering and those guys are great. I love the current team, but of course, nobody, I think they would say that, nobody's going to hold a candle to Uecker's call.
Sometimes you just have people who are lightning in a bottle in whatever their profession is, yeah. And Uecker was one of those.
He really, really was. So congratulations to the great C.C. Sabathia, because he went on then and I believe to the Yankees. So it was Cleveland, the Yankees, and the Brewers. And it was really cool of Sabathia when he got the news this weekend when he got inducted. He said, Milwaukee! ! Cleveland! ! New York! ! He gave a shout out to all of his teams. And last time I checked, the Brewers fans had the most likes and retweets of anybody.
And I'll have to check and see
where the smallest market amongst those three teams. So all accounts from what I ever heard by people who were in the clubhouse with Sabathia that magical summer, they said he was just a great human being, a great teammate, and I think that we all know exactly what he was in terms of his talent.
Yeah, the Milwaukee tweet is by far the biggest.
Still is, yeah.
It's at 9,500 likes. The closest is Cleveland at 6,500.
That's great. Now, here, this is great. Mom will love this in particular because she'll often say to me, why don't you tell who won these things more? We want to know who won. And Mom, as she always is exactly right. So thank you to Jim in Brookfield, one of our great listeners in WAUK in Waukesha. Jim in Brookfield just texted in and said, hey, Todd and Sommers, my weekend started out great Friday evening when I learned that we had won the free ticket Friday contest. My wife and I will be going to the game Wednesday with two diehard baseball fans. We thought about asking the both of you. However, we knew you'd be working. Thank you to Civic Media, Jim from Brookfield. Now, that's exactly what you want in a listener. Thank you, Jim. Very, very kind of you to take the time to write that so we can pass it on. Because I think some people say, well, does anybody really win this stuff? Well, here you go. There's Jim in Brookfield, who indeed not only won, but took the time and was kind enough to write us a thank you note. So, yes. Jim, thank you. I will pass that on to the rest of the folks here at Civic Media. And speaking of that, you can listen every Friday, not just our show, but all the great programs across Civic Media for a word of the day. And you have your chance to win four free tickets for a Milwaukee Brewers game in our beautiful club-level seats. That's coming up on Friday. Sommers?
Also, very much appreciate the offer to bring us along, but I am glad you found other people because a part of the perk of working here is we get a handful of tickets season.
We get a couple of games every year. We always appreciate that. And
so I want to make sure people get to enjoy who don't normally get to go.
We want to spread the love, right? That's what we want to do, spread the baseball and Brewers love. So congratulations, Jim. Be like Jim and listen we like to have you listen to us every day, but particularly on Fridays, because you can get something out of the deal. Not just entertainment and information. You can actually win Brewers tickets on Friday. Free ticket Friday. You have to download the Civic Media app because that's the only way that you can enter. So thanks, Jim. We appreciate that. We're going to come back. Again, the Brewers tonight are going to be playing 6:40, the first pitch across many of our stations, with a pregame show underway just after 6 o'clock, the Brewers against the Cubs. Here's the deal, Zommers. We got a governor's race going on. Have you heard about this?
I think once or twice.
I think once or twice. Cameron Appleton says, I think I've won a few times in the past, and each time said no thank you because I don't leave the house. Well, okay. We appreciate you playing, Cam, but yeah, unfortunately, the game can't come to you. You can via the magic of radio. You can get WISS and Appleton, I bet. But no, you have to be able to go to the games. But we have a governor's race going on. Sarah Rodriguez says she is already in. She announced last week. And she's going to be here after the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to her live. But also want to check in with some news over the weekend. A couple of people said they're out. Not going to run for governor. And so we're going to tell you who those people are. One Republican, one Democrat. Because this is the new game, right? This is the new game that's taking America, or at least Wisconsin, by storm. Who will be our next governor? People are posturing. We'll see who's going to get in. One person in particular. And I have not given it a lot of credibility because I just didn't want to. But our former governor, Dan Schaefer, and Bill McCoshin on this program on Thursday were talking about this, speculating. What do Scott Walker's trolling tweets really mean? We'll tell you. Is he in or out after this? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records. The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of gold unlimited plan or higher required for offer. Must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
Craft cocktails, live events, a playground for the kids, and yes, self-serve, instant ramen bar, and drag bingo. It's all at Downdrin's Distilling in Cottage Grove. It's not your average tasting room. Pet-friendly, family-friendly, flavor-packed. Visit downdrins.com or stop by today.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go?
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great songs, Zomers. This is a summer song. Turn it up a little bit more. Here we go.
Till the end of time. So you got to let me know, should I stay or should I go?
Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball here along with Aaron Zomeris, spinning the tunes. But that's a great summer tune.
It is.
It's a great summer tune.
I also thought it fit with Scott Walker.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Perry says, Zomeris pulling out the Clash. Indeed he is. It could be a clash between titans, right, politically. But people are, should they get into the governor's race or should they not? So over the weekend, Scott Walker, former Governor Scott Walker, was futzing around on Twitter, trying to be cute by retweeting the 45-47 thing of Trump, saying, oh, you know, maybe I could be the 47th governor of Wisconsin, you know, just like Donald Trump, basically. It was hinting around. And he wanted people to talk about him because he gets very, very lonely, you understand? And we all remember when he ran for president and how that went, which is not well. And his wife, Tonette, she put the kibosh to that. She says, this thing's over. She pulled the plug on the presidential race. That's the real story on that one. And
good
then,
for her.
Yeah. And then there was rumors that, you know, Scott Walker might be wanting to run for governor again. And apparently, Toinette has once again said, no, we're not doing that. So he put out some goofy, I shouldn't say goofy, but I thought it was goofy, a video over the weekend. And he said, basically, he said a lot of stuff. And then he said, I'm not running for governor this time around. So you got that going. And by the way, Walker is making like $700,000 running some young Republicans thing. So it would be a dramatic pay cut for Scott Walker to run for governor again. And if our friend Trevi Olson were here, he would remind us that Scott Walker is one of those people who's always wanted to be governor, always wanted to be president, because back at Badger Boy State, when Trigvy and Scott Walker were at Badger Boy State, you know, Trigvy said most of us guys, we were seniors in high school. We were trying to figure out how to get the college freshmen, you know, behind the bleachers to give them a kiss. And Scott Walker was more interested in lobbying and campaigning to be president, even at Badger Boy State. And so, and Trigvy likes to say, there are people in this business that either want to be or want to do. And certainly Scott Walker is a person that just wants to be. So that's fine. He's out. We all knew that. Now, here's something a little more newsy. On the Democratic side, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, very, very politically attractive candidate. She's good on the stump. She's a good retail campaigner. She's run statewide before. Now she holds a statewide office. Lots of thoughts that she might be stepping up to the plate. But she has said now that she is going to take a pass on the gubernatorial run, Sarah Godlewski. However, she is reported to be entertaining a run for lieutenant governor. So now already we have a hot lieutenant governor's race heating up, because apparently now State Senator Brad Pfaff is announced that, or is hinting around to people that he may be interested in a run for lieutenant governor.
Ooh.
I know, very, that light governor's race, always a sexy deal, politically sexy. And so we got those two maybe going at it there on the light governor's race. But here now, over the weekend, and help me out, Summers, so make sure I give credit to the person where the cut is here. Oh, here, I got it right here in front of me. This is Catherine Merck over the weekend, and she talked to Governor Tony Evers at CBS 58 in Milwaukee, asking the governor, incumbent Governor Tony Evers, is he going to make an endorsement in this race?
I tend to try to avoid that, so no, I'll never say never, but I want to make sure who the rest of the candidates are before I even make that decision. That's the important thing. I tend to not get involved with primaries in general, and so that's probably where I hope to be again. But then, if there's somebody that really needs support and I want them to win, I might get in.
There you go, Tony Evers, not giving us a yes or a no. Which means, of course, that yes, he may endorse.
Yeah.
Even though he never said no, and he's leaving the door open. If somebody that I like, that I want to win, he says. In other words, if my person that I want to see succeed me ain't doing well, I'll pull a Ben Wickler. Because remember, Ben Wickler said he wasn't going to endorse anybody for the Democratic Party chairmanship. Yeah, there's a Pecky and a Devin Remicker going at it. And then at the last minute, Wickler says, no, I actually want my right-hand guy. And he endorsed Remicker. Remicker right. Won by a couple hundred, or by a few, not less than 100 votes, I think.
And the only real reason that was controversial is because he initially said he wouldn't, whereas right. Evers said, probably won't.
So my guess is he will. Let's go quickly to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Charles calling in from Milwaukee on WAUK. Charles, what say you?
Hey, Todd. So every time Scott Walker opens his mouth or tweets something, only response to Scott Walker should be Foxconn, right, with an emphasis on the con.
Right, exactly.
That's it. Any response to him from a Democrat or independent should be Foxconn.
I like that. I like that a lot.
An emphasis on the con, because the con, he took those people's homes, eminent domain, and I think he knew that this deal was not going to go through, but like you said, he had the aspirations to be a president, and that didn't go well, but yeah. Foxconn should be the only response to Scott Walker.
I appreciate it, Charles. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Charles, exactly right. And we don't talk about Foxconn enough on this show, because it was a huge failure in which people lost their homes, their farms, their land, and eminent domain type of things down there in southeast Wisconsin. And it's a big bust, basically. And Governor Evers has had to try to make something out of the mess that Walker left him. But Charles is absolutely right. friend of mine in politics told me a long time ago, Todd, you know what the opposite of love is, isn't it? It's not hate. It's indifference. Just ignoring Scott Walker, is that drives him crazy. That's why I don't like to talk about him that much of the show. All right, come on back. Somebody I do want to talk with, the current Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez. Will she be Wisconsin's next governor? We'll talk to her live after this. Don't go anywhere. It's Todd Allbaugh on the Civic Media Radio Network. If I stay, it will be trouble. So you gotta let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all heard the saying, less is more. But did you know it can also apply to loading livestock into a trailer to head to the county fair? I'm Kylie Allen, and you're tuning in to the Midwest Farm Report this Monday. Stay with us. Tips for keeping your livestock calm at the fair are coming your way. Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com. It's that time of year. Livestock is being loaded into the trailer and taken to the county fairgrounds to compete for a prized purple ribbon. Bernie O'Rourke is the Extension Youth Livestock Specialist. She has tips to keep your livestock calm and prepared for the county fair.
That is certainly a thing. I think that as we have researched animal handling, researched how animals behave and move, we've really found out that less people is more impactful. And you know, a lot of it has to do with distractions, right? If there's too many people and too many people talking, it's pretty distracting for an animal. But the people that have been around the animal a lot is probably one of the most important things.
Bernie O'Rourke along with us. She's the Extension Youth Livestock Specialist. While fewer people are better than a crowd, she says to make sure the people the animal is most familiar with are taking the reins. Stick around. We've got to look at some more news after this.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com. Innovation,
that's BioVet. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection says the talk of tariffs has once again caused concern in the pork market. This follows the announcement of a 17% U.S. tariff on tomatoes from Mexico. 70% of tomatoes sold in the U.S. are grown in Mexico, and Mexico is the largest buyer of U.S. pork. Check out the latest livestock update on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter. That'll have the latest Wisconsin agriculture news delivered straight to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny, hot, and humid today, with high temperatures scraping the low 90s, but it really feeling more like 100 degrees, prompting a heat advisory. And with the winds barely moving, it's not helping any. Overnight, some showers and storms are possible, and some could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 88 degrees.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplassen,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, July the 28th, 2025. As we were talking about there in the last segment, the governor's race for 2026 is on. Democratic incumbent governor Tony Evers announcing last week via an X video that he would not seek a third term. And the first person out of the gate, literally hitting the sidewalks running, was current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She has been on this program several times, and we are honored to have her back on via telephone. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Where do we find you in our great state today, Lieutenant Governor?
So I was in Door County today, and I'm making my way back to a home in Waukesha, but was able to stop by several different businesses, talk to them, was able to stop by an organization that does housing along the shore there, and really talk about what they need from the state government.
That's fantastic. I was I traveled around the state myself, was in Shawano, Green Bay, Richland Center, Spring Green area, Madison and Milwaukee, and saw the Brewers win last night and back here. And here's the thing, Lieutenant Governor, I know we've talked about this before, but and I took the way from Shawano to Richland Center. I went through kind of Adams and Wood County and just what most people see as the middle of nowhere. And then you get into the Driftless and you just realize how green, how naturally beautiful, and how diverse geographically this state is.
It really is. I love the Driftless region. I love Door County. I love Milwaukee and all that it has to offer. It is a fantastic state, and I love to live here, and I'm glad that I raised my family here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great state. We could agree on that. All right, let's get to the business at hand. You put up this video. I would say it didn't matter whether it was you or anybody else. I've spent 30 years in politics. I thought it was one of the best kickoff videos to a campaign I've ever seen. It was well done visually, but it actually had something to say. That's going to put the question out there right away. Lieutenant Governor, why do you want to be the next governor of the great state of Wisconsin?
Well, as Lieutenant Governor, I, like you were talking about, I get to go to all 72 counties across the state. And I have done that every single year that I have been Lieutenant Governor. And I will continue to do that, to listen to people and see what they need from state government. And what I am hearing is that people feel squeezed. They are doing everything right. They are working. They are trying to do what's right. And they cannot make ends meet. And whether that is accessible and affordable health care, whether that's housing, whether that's childcare, geez, I mean, childcare now is either a rent or a mortgage for people. It is wildly expensive. One of the areas that I've been working on my entire time in elected office is Medicaid expansion. We could get $2 billion from the federal government if we expanded Medicaid here in Wisconsin. It makes economic sense. It makes sense for the health of our communities. It's a no-brainer. We should just do it.
So I want to get to a couple of questions. Just to give you an opportunity to say publicly a couple of things I've heard over the weekend. I think you've been on a couple other programs. I've heard some of this, not new to you, but perhaps new to our listeners across Wisconsin on our network. I think your announcement video got I don't understand this stuff, Lieutenant Governor, but got uploaded or something a couple of days before the governor made the announcement. So this is brouhaha. Oh, she had a heads up on this. I mean, did the governor confide in you as his you know, closest political friend? I would think that you knew you had some sort of a heads up.
I did. The governor said that today. I got a heads up when the cabinet got the heads up that he was going to retire. And I am just so appreciative of his service. He has set us up fantastically at Wisconsin. He's set us up for success, and I'm going to knock it out of the park. But the reality is we need a governor who's going to be ready to go, who's going to be prepared, who's going to have their ducks in a row. And so I was prepared for either decision that he was going to make. I was prepared to run for governor. I was prepared to run for lieutenant governor and support him.
Another question that has come up just from people on, you know, political chit chat or that sort of thing is that you look at the field of candidates who may be coming in, and one of the concerns, perhaps, and unjustified, perhaps, want to give a chance to respond to it is, look, she has a great resume. She's been out there all over the state, but politically, you really haven't been in politics. What, an assembly, then lieutenant governor, 5-ish, 6 years. And so people say, well, can she take, and I guess we have to clarify it, sadly, in this day and age, a political punch, not a physical punch, of course, but politically, when this gets in the heat of things, the primary, the general, and people really come after her, can she take a punch? What do you say to that?
Absolutely. I actually launched my campaign on my 50th birthday. And you know what? When you get to be this age and you've got this experience, I know what I'm about. I know what my values are. They can come at me with whatever they want to come at me with. I am able to handle that. Absolutely. And to be clear, I have worked in executive positions outside of elected office for far longer than I've been in elected office. And I think that's a good balance between understanding what it's like to be able to lace up your shoes every day, working as a nurse, working as an executive, and also understanding the political landscape. I think that's a plus, and I think the next governor is going to have to be working across the aisle, working with businesses, working with private industry, and I've got that experience.
We're talking live via telephone with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Her announcement last week that she is running to succeed Tony Evers as governor of the state of Wisconsin. Lieutenant Governor, we were up at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here a couple weeks ago with our friend Pat Kreitlow. We were right across from the Chippewa County Republican booth, and Josh Shulman, one of the people that is in the race for the Republican side, came over, sat down. We had a quick chat with him. I asked him, do you need Donald Trump's endorsement in order to win the nomination on his side? He was a little cagey. He said he likes Trump, but the voters of Wisconsin are more important. Bill Berrien, one of the other Republican candidates, has been very clear. Yes, he needs it. Bill McCosh on this show last week, political strategist, said he believes that the Trump endorsement is key to their side. I ask you, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, do you need anybody's endorsement to win this nomination on the Democratic side? Think of Bernie Sanders or the quote-unquote Bernie bro crowd, the more progressive side of your party. Do you need that to win this endorsement? The nomination.
The nomination. You know, I don't think so. I think we've got very varied views in Wisconsin. And I certainly want to make sure we are focusing on the areas that progressives care about. That includes economics, that includes the cost of health care, the cost of housing, just the cost of living overall. And that's what I love about the Democratic Party is that we do have diverse viewpoints, but we all want the same thing. We want to make sure that people have a good shot making it and that the playing field is even. That's what we want, and that's what I'm going to be fighting for.
Just cut it down to the bone, politically speaking, as someone who ran a number of races, is even worse than it is today because the Citizens United are worse than it was then. A lot of this comes down to name ID and money. You've been the lieutenant governor for a little while. That has to help your name ID. But a lot of people are going to say, can she raise the money, which is a evil necessity in this business today? What's your response?
So we've already had a great outpouring of support for the campaign, even in just the last couple of days. And so I anticipate being able to raise the money we need to be able to fight the way that we need to here in Wisconsin. It is so important to keep Wisconsin's governor's seat in Democratic hands. We see the chaos in Washington. We see the chaos on the federal level. We do not want that chaos here in Wisconsin. And if we elect a Republican governor, that's what we're going to get. Trump-level chaos here in Wisconsin.
You and I have talked before this program about your ability to reach out in places that maybe a lot of Democrats couldn't. Having, you know, we share the fact we have family roots in the Richland County area. Tammy Baldwin, mm-hmm. one of the people that in the Democratic side is a rock star, in my opinion, is because she could go north of Highway 29 and north of Highway 8 and sit down and have a beer and be real with people. What do you think, what is it about you, Lieutenant Governor, that gives you the ability to replicate that political success of Senator Baldwin?
Well, I have strong roots in Wisconsin. You mentioned that my grandparents had a dairy farm in Richland County, and then when they sold that dairy farm, they moved to the big city of West Salem. And if anybody knows, West Salem is not a big city.
Right.
But I've lived here. I graduated from Brookfield East High School, raising my kids here in Waukesha County. I have an uncle who lives in St. Croix County. I love Wisconsin. I am able to go all across the state and speak to people, whether that's urban, suburban, rural, tribal lands. These are the things that we need to be able to do as elected officials and listen and understand what they want from their state government.
Talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on her campaign for governor, I 100% believe in what you just said. You know that because our conversations on this program before. I think, I'm not saying this for you, I'm saying it for our audience. Part of the reason Tony Evers was so successful is he got what Lieutenant Governor just said, and he didn't win all those counties north of Highway 29 or 8, but he made the margin of loss smaller because he reached out to more people. Lieutenant Governor, I ask you, how do you balance what you just said, what I agree with, let's just be honest, there are people in your party that are critical of Governor Evers and said, enough of this kind of mealy-mouth, milquetoast, getting along with Republicans. We want a stronger fighter for harder progressive issues. We should have fought harder for K-12 in the state budget. How do you appease them to win the nomination without, alienating people in a potential general election?
So if they want a fighter, they've got one. I am not gonna stand down. I'm gonna fight for our values. I'm gonna fight for what we want as Democrats. And we can do better. We are going to flip the state assembly. We are going to flip the state Senate with a Democratic governor. We can get these things done. And I want to make sure that I'm the one to do that job. I'm the one to work with my party. And we may need some Republican votes to be able to get some things across that finish line. We're going to work with them, too, to make sure that we do what's best for Wisconsin. But I'm going to fight for our values. I'm going to fight for what's right.
2.5 minutes left. I want to be respectful of your time. I'll let you talk about whatever issue you want for the rest of the time. I think for me, your background in healthcare is really going to resonate in this campaign because this state is facing a crisis, particularly pairing that with what's happening in the federal level.
Absolutely. So I'm a nurse by background. I have worked in healthcare for almost all of my career, public health. I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the CDC. I did outbreak investigations nationally and internationally. I've been a healthcare executive. I understand how healthcare works. And I know that these cuts to Medicaid on the federal level are going to be devastating to Wisconsin, particularly our rural hospitals. We already have issues with women who want to have babies in hospitals. They have to travel hours to be able to deliver their babies because we just don't have the access that we used to. These Medicaid cuts are going to accelerate that. And this bill that they just passed, this awful bill, it quite literally takes food out of children's mouths. It reduces food assistance for individuals who are just trying to make ends meet. Oftentimes, these families are working. They're just not making that much money. And so that's what we're taking away from people. We're taking food out of children's mouths for what? For tax cuts for billionaires so they can buy another yacht? I don't really understand it. And so I'm going to be fighting for Wisconsinites. I'm going to do my best to make sure that we can mitigate some of the damage that's happening on the federal level. And that's what you want as an executive. You want somebody who understands the process, who has led before in an executive role, and is going to be able to move things forward.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor, I want to say thank you publicly because you've never shied away from coming on this show, even before this run. You're always willing to have heartfelt discussions, honest discussions, even though we might not always agree. And I really appreciate that. You're always welcome on this show as this race goes forward. You can find more information at sarah4wisconsin.com, SARA4wisconsin.com. Thanks, Lieutenant Governor. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, come on back. Take your phone calls. 855-752-4842. Stay tuned.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Get ready, Madison. El Sazon Jarocho is now open on Plaza Drive. 5-star authentic Mexican cuisine. Fresh, homemade, and the best prices in town. See why one review said, best tacos I've ever had in my life. El Sazon Jarocho. You won't leave hungry, just happy.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records. The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Animal enthusiasts, registration is open for Camp Paw Prince Summer Break at Dane County Humane Society. Kids ages 7 to 12 enjoy animal interactions, lessons with experts, service projects, art projects, and more. Visit giveshelter.org/camp for details. And now, Dane County Humane Society has a camp for ages 12 to 14. Camp Wildside is a nature and wildlife camp, bird and plant identification, monitoring nests, wildlife games, service, art projects, and more. Details at giveshelter.org/wildside.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A check of weather, and then a little sports with our own Mike Clemens. He texted me a Packer update, Summers. A Packer, I'll share it with you after the top of the hour. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Because when you've got a great guy like Mike Clemens on the inside, once in a while, he'll give you a little nugget, and we always appreciate that. So I'll share the nugget from Mike Clemens after the top of the hour. Also, a What's Worse edition, Summer Pest.
Yeah.
I know. Summer Pests. We'll talk about that in the second hour as well, and much more news. Many thanks to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Many thanks to our very own Luke Mathers for helping make that happened and setting that up for us. Really appreciate that. But look, I'm not endorsing anybody in this race. I'm just going to say that straight out right now. I'm not going to make an endorsement on the air because here's what I want. I want all gubernatorial candidates, and I mean all, Republican, Democratic, Independent, if there is one, I want them to come on this show and we'll, you know, just like Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, we'll give them all 15 minutes. And I gave, what, 3 minutes there for the lieutenant governor to say whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
But here is the deal. Here, and again, I'm not making an endorsement. I like candidates who aren't afraid of questions. There was no, oh, well, you could only ask her this, or we, well, she's not going to answer. None of that. No, there was nothing off the table. And when I asked her specific questions, she gives a real answer. And to me, that's valuable as Wisconsinites start to think about. And look, it's early, right? We're more than a year before the actual election. We're under a year for the primary in this state. Remember, the primary for governor is not in spring. It's in the fall. So the primary will be in August of 2026. So a long time yet. But I really appreciate Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez for coming on and answering the questions we had, for having a real discussion, because I think that's valuable for our audience.
Yes.
For voters.
I also really appreciate the politicians and candidates that we have who will answer tough questions and do so graciously and honestly. And as Abraham Lincoln once said, quote, "I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended on to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts and beer."
And a beer. That's what we want.
So, yeah, if people will answer the questions honestly, if you give people right. the facts,
right.
they can choose.
I have that on my refrigerator. It's a magnet I got from the Lincoln Presidential Library down in Springfield. You ever get a chance, go down to Springfield to the Presidential Library for Lincoln. It's fantastic. Tony on YouTube says, "You," meaning me, "should endorse a candidate for governor at the end, but only pick from people who appear on the show." Now, that's not bad, Tony. I like that. No, I'm not gonna endorse certainly not in the primary process either way, because I just think it's valuable for our listeners, for voters to hear from everybody and then let them decide. But people that come on the show have to do what the Lieutenant Governor did, which is no preconditions.
Right.
We're just gonna have a conversation and see where it goes. I think it's gonna be a humdinger. It's on the Democratic side right now. You have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who I believe is the only truly announced candidate.
I think so
far. Other person that comes on this show a lot, State Senator Kelda Royce, rumored. She has said publicly that she's considering it. I would be surprised if Kelda Royce does not get it, but we'll see. I've been surprised before. Also, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, very popular amongst many Democrats, even some independents, maybe even a few Republicans in the Milwaukee Southeast area. So Cavalier Johnson, the Milwaukee mayor, has said he may get in as well. So we'll see about that. Attorney General Josh Call, he's kind of got Scott Walker syndrome. Says, just likes the attention, I think, and says a lot. But we had that cut last week where he talked for like 4 minutes and didn't say anything.
Yeah, it was very much a non-announcement.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, Josh Call, you can't deny he's going to be one of the front runners just by the fact that he's a sitting statewide attorney general and is raising
money. Everyone knows his
right.
name.
I think his challenge is going to be and maybe this is to his credit. I don't know. But he hasn't been boasting a lot about what he's done in office as attorney general. Over the weekend, I talked to our political editor, Dan Schaefer. I said, "You're too young to remember. But there used to be an attorney general during Tommy Thompson's, I believe, first term as governor, Don Hanaway." There is a name that a lot of people haven't heard in a long time. Don Hanaway, who was the attorney general of Wisconsin, a Republican. And I was working at WRCO, Richland Center, at the time, and it was magical from a political standpoint, because when Don Hanaway was the attorney general, he got the legal sign-off somehow, but he put out a number of public service announcements, PSAs, on the radio station statewide from the attorney general's office. It was like, it was like, "This is a Wisconsin attorney, Don Hanaway. This is what we're working on. Make sure that you're protected. Call whatever number for state." It was some kind of a consumer protection deal. But it got his name out there all the time. And people were, "Well, I hear Don Hanaway on the radio all the time." And he got reelected. He ultimately lost.
Name ID is
he ultimately. Yeah, I think he lost his bid for a third term. And my old boss, Dale Schultz, goes, "What was the number one rule of politics?" I said, "Remember who your friends are." He goes, "Yep." So Don Hanaway forgot who his friends were. And I'm not sure if he raised more money. But anyway, that was Don Hathaway. So the point is that I'm not sure that Josh Call has done that. And again, maybe to his credit, he's just gotten the job done. But in today's day and age, you got to tell people about it. So we'll see if Josh Call gets in on the Democratic side. Sarah Godlewski, as we said earlier, is saying state treasurer is saying, or pardon me, Secretary of State is saying she is out. She is not going to run for governor, but is mulling a run for lieutenant governor. So there's that. And I think there will be some other people that maybe we haven't heard of yet, or maybe that will get in on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, you got Josh Shulman, Washington County executive, and Bill Berrien, the self-proclaimed business guy. We'll see if Tom Tiffany, congressman up in the North Woods, gets in, and maybe more. Scott Walker says he is out politically. Anyway, come on back. Hour number two is next. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Two Israeli humanitarian groups said today for the first time Israel is carrying out a genocide in Gaza, where there are reports of children dying from malnourishment. Dr. Nick Maynard's a volunteer surgeon and says,
I saw multiple gunshot wounds inflicted on young teenage boys, sometimes as young as 11, 12, 13, who go to these food distribution points to get food for their starving families.
Today, President Trump disputed a claim from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that there is no starvation. The president discussed building food distribution centers. He met with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer as he continues his trip overseas. He's in Scotland, but in the U.S., a federal judge in Boston blocked his administration's plans to block funding for Planned Parenthood, writing it likely violates the Constitution. Football legend Deion Sanders revealed he's been treated for bladder cancer. The University of Colorado head coach urged people to get checked. This is ABC News.